July 18th. This is Show Me Your Playlist, the podcast where I, Katie Kruger, your host, has a new guest each week with a story to share and, nope, not a story to share, story to tell and a playlist to share. I'm not even going to edit that. I'm bad at intros, if you couldn't tell. Make sure you are following me on Instagram at Show Me Your Playlist. I have some fun stuff coming up, like the Respect Women's Podcast Festival in August at Amalgam Comics out on Frankfurt Avenue. I'm really pumped for. I am also going to be in this week's guest, Nate Hurst's art show, Snack Attack, at a little place called Tattooed Moms. I don't know if you've heard of it or not. Maybe, maybe not. It's a great place. Support local artists, support local businesses, and support local businesses that support local artists. That is the big part. I am summer living on that Joe Rogan schedule, trying to pump out episodes as I don't want to say feel like it, but as it kind of naturally falls in my schedule. The summer is kicking my ass. It is hot as fuck, Philly. It's so hot. I bet the whole East Coast is humid and hot, and I'm just another person complaining, but I just walked Harley. It is 7 a.m. It is hot, humid, and I just, like, instantly couldn't breathe and started sweating. Like, that's not normal. But this week's episode with Nate Hurst, really fun. We made a Sounds of Fieri playlist. Well, he did. And it was fun because I had to guess whether it was him or Guy Fieri. We really brought you to Flavortown, some fun facts about Guy Fieri, and a lot of fun facts about Nate Hurst. And he is a Philadelphia-based illustration. He has done a lot of the posters for Jerks Production, Tattooed Moms, Burger of the Month. He designed a beer can, and you get to kind of hear all about it. Plus, he's a funny dude, and we kind of just have great natural back and forth banter. I would totally start a podcast with him. I'm really jealous lately of people who have two people who run a podcast together. Being a creative can be hard sometimes. There's ebbs and flows, and sometimes we create content and art and stuff that we really are proud of, and other times we just kind of go through the motions and we can feel ourselves going through the motions. And my biggest piece of advice is be patient with yourself. Keep making whatever you're making, and at some point it will just work itself out without even knowing it. And go to an art show, hang out with art friends, go just sketch with no, like, intentions. Go make music. Even if you're not good at making music, you've never done it before, just do something different to kind of break that kind of rhythm of, I don't want to say self-loathing, but, like, at some point it is kind of self-deprecating because you're just like, this is shit, this doesn't work, why the fuck, like, it's just back and forth in your head, and you can just, like, clear out those thoughts, go try something new, embrace trying something new, and be patient 100% with yourself. I'm really just recording this so I can listen back to it and be like, yeah, take your own advice. Just do it. It's fine. Okay, so on this week's episode, I really wanted to find the perfect song from a local artist or local adjacent artist. And I went all the way back to, like, February. Again, super grateful that I can go back that far and find music that has been submitted. And I found a Philadelphia local hip hop artist and stand up comedian. And you can kind of tell with his music, Nazir, with his song Brunch. It is hilarious. It fits perfectly. And white girls do love brunch. It's just a known fact. And I hope you enjoy this song. It kind of fits together perfectly. And you should follow him on Instagram at NaziBear. If you don't remember, last time Nate and I recorded, one of my mics, like, cut out, and it just was, like, hardline audio for the first 30 minutes. Like, no audio came through. And when we were recording last time, I don't know if it's the move. I don't know. I just have to troubleshoot. I just need to put up my new mics, but I have four tiny mics and one of them must be cutting out because it kind of started happening again when Nate and I were recording and I thought it was just me pressing buttons and it wasn't. And while I was having my, like, I can't get all my creative stuff done, I don't like all my creative stuff, Nate made a joke because, like, the last 10 minutes of us recording was us just, like, bantering back and forth and doing ASMR. I don't even think we were doing it right. I just know to put, like, a lot of saliva near my lips and, like, enunciate real and whisper. If that's how you do it, then we were doing it right. If not, we were just making asses out of ourselves. But the last 10 minutes, he was like, it's fine, just 10 minutes of the ASMR and the Guy Fieri playlist, and we're good to go, right? And I was like, yeah, totally. Last night, I was finishing up editing, and I had this, like, 10-minute increment because one of the mics cut out and stopped recording. And I went to go upload it, and no audio was coming through. And I, like, look, and it's fucking hardlined again. So you, like, miss everything about the rest of the playlist, Nate, what's coming up for him, which is the Snack Attack show, and just to follow him on Instagram to see his, like, Sunday beer can illustrations, Nathan Hurst art at Instagram. I can't say it enough. Go support him. He's a good dude. This episode's funny. And I will see you maybe next week. I record on Monday with Emmy, my lovely sex playlister. We get to talk about, we might be breaking up with Summer. We will definitely still talk about sex, but we're going to talk about sex and breakups and what we can break up with things. We break up with a lot of things, whether we realize it or not. We break up with friends, jobs, dating apps, and marriages, you know, the whole shebang. We'll have a really good episode. Everyone loves the sex episodes. So we're going to do another one for Summer and kind of do it like a seasonal thing. We did like end of cuffing season, spring. Now we're doing summer. We'll do a fall. We'll do a winter, you know, so on. We'll see how long it goes, but it's good. And I'm recording with her on Monday, and we will see when the episode comes out. I'm not giving you a hard deadline, because I can't keep deadlines to myself right now, and that's okay. So until next week, or week-ish, I will see you, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Make sure to follow everyone on Instagram, and if you have music you want to submit, submit it to showmeyourplaylist@gmail.com. If you think you would be a great guest, shoot me an email as well. I don't always check the Facebook because I deleted Facebook off my phone because it is not necessary. So yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting. And I hope you enjoy. Like, just hard line. And we recorded for a good 30 minutes. And there was no audio whatsoever. Thank you for coming over and recording again. Part deux. Did you ever watch the, like, VH1, like, what is it? Like, 80s?
Oh, like, I Love the 80s?
Yeah, I Love the 80s. I Love the 80s, part deux.
That's what they called it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I was a big fan of VH1.
I liked when they did, it got a little much when they did the I Love 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty rough.
In the 2000s.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
It was. But I loved Pop-Up Video. Pop-Up Video.
But then they tried bringing it back, and it failed.
Really?
Yeah, they tried bringing it back with, like, a new music videos, and no one cared about it.
I can't tell you how long it's been since I've had actual cable to where I've watched something.
I don't even think they show music videos on there anymore.
Oh, I doubt it. I have Nate Hurst in the house. We are recording. It's fun. I felt like an idiot because I felt like I got all my, like, fuck-ups out of the way when we first recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to go, like, edit our audio, and then just nothing, dead air. It was such good. And the thing that sucks the most is, like, I realized we weren't recording while we were recording, like, two times, so we had to, like, restart and redo questions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, I wanted to have you on. Not only is it summer, your favorite season.
That's false.
Nate is not a fan of summer. I'm in jeans
and it's 90 degrees outside.
You're in jeans and a baseball tee. So I wanted to have you on because, you know, summer and your love for Guy Fieri.
Correct.
Is it Fieri or Fieri?
Well, if you want to get into it.
Yeah, I just right off the bat, let's get into it so okay. We can get this out
everybody
of
the... Everybody close their eyes.
We're closing.
Think about the best place in the world, number one destination for any American, Flavortown.
Just took me to Flavortown.
Just took you to Flavortown.
One ticket.
Bathe yourself in donkey sauce.
But it...
That's a thing.
What is donkey sauce?
That's what he calls sauce sometimes.
Donkey sauce?
That's like his secret sauce, yeah.
That's
but anyway.
Gross. there's so much stuff to learn about Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
But I think it's appropriate to give you this playlist because you have an upcoming art show.
I do, yeah.
It's a junk food art show.
It's a junk food themed art show at Tattooed Moms called Snack Attack.
Snack Attack.
And it's July, did I say July 19th?
July 19th,
July
yes.
19th, yeah.
Which is a Friday, right?
Friday. It'll be like 6 to like 10, 6 to 11, 6 to 10.
I'm getting all the details, and I'm a part of it. I should know it.
There's a Facebook event.
There is a Facebook event, and I've invited people. I am, like, on my shit.
I don't know if people use Facebook still in that sense.
I use Facebook in the sense of I say I'm going to things, even though I probably won't go to things. That way, when I'm bored as shit or I'm, like, in a lull and I'm like, what the fuck is there to do tonight?
Right.
It's like a personal calendar.
That makes sense.
It's like a Rolodex of events.
That, and you use it so people can wish you happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly. You, like, haven't talked to your friend from college in 10 years, but god damn it,
they say
it's their
birthday.
Fucking birthday, and you're gonna tell them how much you miss them, and HBD.
Yeah.
With the junk food art show, what are you working on? What are some of the...
So, at your last art show, I did a Mayor McCheese portrait.
You did?
So, that was kind of the inspiration for the junk show, because Tattoo Moms reached out to me, and they were like, hey, why don't you do, like, a summer show with us? You haven't done one since almost, I think, December.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit. But, yeah, I just thought, you know, I haven't seen a junk food kind of theme show or something along that context.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be fun because I love junk food. I love...
What's your favorite junk food?
It's hard. I think it's got to be like Hostess cupcakes or something like Ooh. That. Like something that's like terrible for you.
Yeah. Something that like, you know, you're just eating.
Yeah. 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 Or like, I remember as a kid, I used to really like Tasty Cakes, but like we had the Tasty Cake like cookie bars and stuff like that.
I don't know what those are.
And it's like... It's just, like, the texture of a cookie, but, like, an undercooked cookie. So, it's, like, kind of like doughy. Yeah. It's good. It's good stuff.
Tasty cakes. I love the butterscotch tasty cakes.
Yeah, those are great. Yeah. Another good one. They do, like a big cake. It's, like, a one big chocolate cake. They're pretty dope, too.
yeah. I could down some tasty cakes right
or the,
now.
Or the peanut butter ones. They're pretty good, too. Candies? Something like that?
Yeah, the, like, cookie with the peanut butter and the chocolate around the top of it. Yeah, those shits are really good. But, like, when you're eating it, you kind of feel this, like, you know how much preservatives are in it, and you're just kind of, like, it's,
my
like,
my body's
wax.
Based on preservatives at this point, the way I eat.
So, what kind of junk food are you illustrating?
So, this time around, I'm going to do Twinkie the Cowboy. I'm doing the Hostess Captain Cupcake, and then I'm doing two more McDonald's characters.
Ooh.
I'm gonna do the Hamburglar, and then I'm trying to decide on one more to do.
Okay.
I was thinking of doing they had this character, and I totally forget its name, but it's like has a moon shaped head.
Okay. I've never...
It was like part of their like, it was part of some ad they had going on in like late '80s, early '90s,
oh, yeah.
Like weird era. Because like originally I was gonna do like the Nuggets kids, but
yes.
Like I guess I thought they were more popular than what I thought. Because the only thing I could find on them is just the toys.
Yeah,
and
I
like weird
the toys.
Little like Muppet puppets in the commercials.
That's weird.
They're very odd looking. Yeah.
Well, they look kind of like potatoes.
Kinda. Yeah. Yeah. And then like
they had like a mom, right? That like
they had a mom.
Didn't they have a mom with like a hat? And stuff? No?
I mean, the Hamburglar had a hat.
No, like, I'm thinking of, like...
Because there was also another group of kids that they hung out with. Oh, the really? Fry kids.
Maybe.
And they looked like weird bushes with feet or something like that. And they had really nothing to do with fries.
How long have you been doing art for?
So, like, heavy, like, into, like, if you look at, like, my Instagram, like, illustrations and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Probably, like, the last 4 or 5 years. Like, I went to school for art. I went to Kutztown University.
Okay.
But it was more for graphic design work and then a, like, illustration background. Kind of, yeah. like, learning the basics. And then I lived in New York for a little bit. And then that's when I kind of stopped doing any type of illustration work. Because I was just mostly focusing on my job at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I moved back to Philly, I was, like, I really got back into it. And, like, Tattoo Moms was my, like, kind of first home for... doing art shows. They were the first people to have really wide open arms, because it's a little hard to, like, get your feeding in the scene around
for
here.
Sure.
It's not that it's clicky, it's just that the shows are not, they're kind of few and far between unless you know the right people, and shows last longer, like months and stuff like that are set up, so
yeah.
it's difficult. So they were the first people that were, like, really into my stuff. And if you look at it back then, it's, like, totally different from what it looks like now.
Have you always been into doing illustration, or did you ever play around with any other mediums?
Yeah, I've always loved illustration. I've always, like, kept... I used to do zines and stuff like that, so, like...
We should totally make a zine.
Yeah!
I want to make a zine. Just, like, a one-time zine. Like,
yeah, we can do it for the playlist or something.
Yeah. Like, I just want to do, like, a zine. Not trying to, like, step on my girls from Cherry Bean Zine. I don't want to try to do it as a full-time gig. But I want to just, like, make a zine with a bunch of friends. And
yeah.
Have
I mean,
it
that's what
like
it's
a...
about. Like, that was the first time I was actually introduced to being, like, other illustrators want to hang out. Or other artists just want to hang out with other artists.
Yeah.
In a community that they're always thinking about, like... how can we collab, or, like, how can we help you out, or something like that. Like, I have a bunch of friends that are, like, super big and, like, have their stuff on Vice, and
yeah.
like, but they're really nice, humble people that are just always checking up on me. I'm always checking up on them. So that community really, like, boosted me in thinking, like, oh, people kind of want to see what I want to do versus just showing something out on,
yeah.
on whatever.
When you moved back to Philly and you started doing art shows for Tattooed Moms, what were some of your first art shows there?
So I was doing Jerks Productions. They host a First Friday there mm-hmm. every month. They pretty much have that, like, on lockdown, as in they're really good at getting new people or people who might be scared or shy,
mm-hmm.
I guess you could say. Like, it's really...
nervous.
Yeah, and it's yeah. I mean, the first show I got bullets drunk and... like, met Robert, the owner, and he was like, hey, I really like your stuff. And, like, I barely remember knowing you. And we took a picture, and he bought one of my first pieces.
Every time someone brings up that's in, like, the artist or creative field of mm-hmm. any sorts, and you're just like, I love Tattooed Moms, and everyone, the next follow-up thing is Robert's the best.
Yeah, and he's good, because... it's not that he calls you on your shit, but he'll just be like, you should be doing more stuff. Like,
yeah.
And, like, that's why this show came up, because I just haven't done one in a while. I was doing, like, a couple shows. I did, like, yours at the Cider Works.
Mm-hmm.
And those are a lot of fun, because that's...
Takes the pressure.
Yeah, but also, that's an audience that I probably have never seen my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I'm trying to look into now, is getting...
Expanding,
yeah. And that's hard, too.
It was totally a different crowd, though, just because Fishtown and versus, like, South Street
yeah.
is too...
You get a lot more collective people in South Street sometimes.
Yeah.
the great part about Tattoo Moms is when you host a show there, not everybody's there for the show, and
yeah.
then that's what creates a better vibe, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because people kind of just stumble upon a show, and whenever mm-hmm. that rarely happens. Like, it just happened to me... kind of yesterday mm. when I was at the Wessahickon Brewery.
Okay.
And they had a bunch of art on display, and that's not technically a show, but it's interesting when you stumble upon art that's actually, like, for sale and kind of
yeah.
in, like, a public place, and breweries are great for that too.
Oh, breweries are best places
yeah.
for, like, art shows. I love Neshaminy Creek whenever they have, like, the punk rock flea market
yeah, those
set up there.
Yeah, JP Flexner, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, he does the art for them.
Oh, really?
He's incredible. Like, his stuff is insane on those cans.
So awesome.
Yeah, it's, like, so well, I guess branded, but, like, what they're doing with the cans now, they're doing a whole new printing process.
Oh, okay.
So if you see their cans now versus, like, maybe a year ago, mm-hmm. they're just like, the colors pop now. It's like insane how they're printing, because they're printing them on clear labels.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, they get these like bright tones and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. talking about beer,
yeah.
you just designed a beer label?
I did. I did Saucony Creek Brewery in Kutztown. They reached out to me a couple years ago about the idea of doing a label, because I did a month long, like, had stuff hanging up
yeah, in the brewery.
And so we worked on it, and originally it only became like a tap handle label because they weren't in production for that type of beer.
Gotcha.
Because they couldn't print on cans yet. Mm-hmm. And then finally this year, they requested me to alter it to their branding. And then it's Pegasus on inline skates. And it just came out like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Is it good beer? What kind of beer is it?
I haven't had it yet, actually, because every time I've been there, it's not been brewed. And now I'm trying. And now, actually, I just requested my mom to buy me like two 4-packs because the only place I can find that sells it is actually in my hometown of Dallingtown, which is like an hour or so away. And okay. I can't find it anywhere in Philly.
Oh, that sucks.
It's really funny,
so
actually.
Bad. You're like, I designed this label yeah. and I can't even get this beer.
Yeah,
this shit sucks.
It's like a mango vanilla IPA with like I think it's called lactose in it, so it's got like a kind of a cream. Like, yeah, like a okay. more of like a texture for like when you taste it versus like adding flavor. It's more
oh,
of like
okay.
a mouth feel, I guess you would say.
Oh,
it's like not a milkshake beer, but kind of close to what that is.
So like it's an IPA that has kind of the texture of like a stout.
I don't know,
or
if, like
not too thick.
Not too thick. Yeah, yeah it's more. Just, yeah, it's like got a nice little something, something.
A little fill.
Yeah.
Another little tasty cake fill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is this your first beer label?
That is my first beer label. So I was like pretty.
Did your dreams come true? With
that? Yeah, I mean, I never thought that would ever happen. Honestly,
yeah.
Like I get really excited when Tattoo Moms ask me to do like their Burger of the Month poster.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's. To me, that's like a bucket list item versus like
that's
thinking.
That's so fucking rad, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to sell myself short. It's just like, it's insane the opportunities that were, you know.
That get thrown your way.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I fall into a lot of stuff like that and I'm like really honored and like people like want to my stuff on there. I don't know.
Humble Nate.
Yeah,
like,
sorry.
Oh. Like, I get really pumped, but your artwork's really fucking cool.
Yeah. And, that's one thing I try to, like, when we kind of went on a tangent, but, like, doing the shows,
yeah.
like, I try to really make the artist feel comfortable and, like, when hanging up their work or, like, when we hang out, like, I'm always trying to make sure everyone's, like, having fun
mm-hmm.
or, like, do you need a beer or something like that.
Just like a chill environment.
Yeah, because I know it's nerve-wracking. Because at Tattoo Moms, there's kind of like some people want to hang around in front of their work and talk about it. And I'm always just like walk
just
around.
Mingle.
Yeah,
just do your
it's
thing.
Easier that way. Because I try to keep them the art shows to the front room. And that way, there's people that can move around in space.
It's intimidating sometimes at Tattooed Moms because their whole walls are filled with nothing but artists.
Right. And that's the other thing that's really hard is how do you make your art stand out in front
yeah.
of that? Let it be a sheet of paper around it or mm-hmm. like or something like that. But, you know, usually when we have these theme shows, I'm getting better at kind of curating what it looks like. Like this time I'm going to do like a... I'm turning the pool table into like a giant table full of like blow up donuts that people can like take pictures with and they'll have faces
oh, cool.
on them and stuff. So
nice.
Like you kind of trying to make an atmosphere and then people will acknowledge more that it's a show and not just
like just shit
more stuffs on the
more
walls.
Stuff's on the wall. So what do you do in your day gig? Are you a graphic designer?
Yeah, I just started working since January with this agency called Agency M and
mm-hmm.
they're in Old City. They've been around for quite a bit, but I'm a junior art director there now, so it's like a big step for me and it's been like a huge I was like in a tight spot for a really long time
mm-hmm.
and now I got this job and it's like all of these opportunities are opening up and they love that I illustrate and they like try to get me to illustrate anything for like their social media and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like and I just did like a recycling sign for them.
I saw that.
And it's just they're like super pumped to have like my stuff on their walls and it's everybody there loves like seeing what I do on the spare time and
it's nice.
Yeah, and it's been a huge step for me as a like in my job career
mm-hmm.
going from just a designer to now like kind of art directing stuff
mm-hmm.
and it's little stuff, like little commercials and stuff like that are just, you know, pictures and words. But it's like, to me, every day is like learning something new. So it's, that place is awesome.
Constantly engaged.
Yeah. And they're great people and they make like really good quality stuff. And
that's hard to find in an agency in general.
Yeah. It's cool. We do like a lot of nonprofit stuff and like a lot of local stuff. So they're really embedded in like the local Philly community as much as they can and helping it out. So,
and it's hard with being, because usually like local businesses go like, kind of like freelance out for work.
Yeah, and you know, like for once it's not like a company that just does all one thing, like healthcare or something. That's that's a lot of stuff around here.
That is just soul sucking.
Yeah.
You also, talking about beer and illustrations, you started doing this like cool Sunday. Am I screwing up your Sunday?
No, installation? No, actually you're not. I just started to, like, I like drinking beer. My girlfriend,
you? No way.
My girlfriend really got me back into learning about craft beer and learning about like different styles. And you know, I'm really a big IPA guy, even though people say that just ruins their taste buds and blows them out of the water.
Everyone's taste buds are different though.
And
Me that hop.
Literally, if it's like 9%, I'm like, yeah, that's good. That's what I want.
I want that thing that just gets me buzzed as soon as I smell it.
And so my girlfriend got me back into beer, and I love beer can art. It's like one of my favorite things.
It's a goal of mine.
Yeah, it's just some people make like some of the most beautiful pieces of artwork on a, like a 16-ounce can.
Yeah.
And you know, I just was like, hey, what if I just took my style of work, because it's very cartoony, very fun, and translate it from other people's work. It can be tough, because like I don't want to bust all over like say Neshaminy Creek. Yeah. Like I don't want to just like local, do their characters. Yeah. I love doing local stuff though, but I just don't want to like copy their characters and just make them like look like in the little diorama. So I try to do a nice balance between the two.
Oh well, she could be whining.
So yeah, it's just like a little fun thing I do on Sundays, and I was doing it I guess not so much. I've been doing it for like 2 or 3 months now.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to find new cans. It's hard to find like, I have to go to more bottle shops. I have to like actually start investing in checking out bottle shops in Philly versus just like the same like 3 that I go to.
Gotcha.
Because the rotations are hard to find, and that's what I'm coming at.
Oh, my wonderful dog.
That's fine.
It's good. It's great. Did you do the Burger of the Month poster for Tattooed Moms?
Yeah, that was like one of the first times like someone was like, can you do a poster for us?
Yeah.
And I was really lucky because Robert always shouts out my name to like, there's a podcast, I think it's called Crime and Cookies or something And I did like a poster for them that they use.
Oh, cool.
I did posters for Jerks Productions for a long time, and that really helped me understand like
formatting,
and that's where like my design degree finally comes into play a lot of times.
Good thing you spent all that money.
yeah still paying it back, thank you Kutztown University.
Yeah. So we're gonna get into the Guy Fieri.
Do you just not want to say that it's a Guy Fieri playlist?
No, I do want to say it. So,
kind of finding
where
this
did
offensive.
Your love, before we go into this playlist, where did your love really stem from for Guy Fieri?
Not having friends in high school and staying up super late at night. And the only thing that was on was Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Do you have like a specific Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives episode? Or do you like remember one of like
no.
his... You just know how much you love him.
I know, I've seen almost every episode, and I just like, it's one of those things where it's like comfort food.
Yeah.
Like, he's obnoxious. I know he's probably like a real shitty person in real life.
You know what? There's a part of me that feels like he's not.
I feel like he's really generous and stuff like that, but like, that's him 24/7. That has to be him 24/7.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think he's just on that flavor ride?
Oh, yeah.
Constantly?
Yeah, he's on that bus 24/7. Like,
does he have tattoos?
Oh, yeah.
He has the flames right up his arms?
For sure.
I always, like, I get this image in my head, because obviously it's, like, like Oakley's on the back of your head, this, like, bright, bleached, white, spiky hair,
it's
like,
just,
the dad button-up shirt with, like, a graphic design of, like, Corvettes on the bottom.
Yeah, it's everything you want in a man, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly. Tinder, come hither.
Yeah.
I need the Guy Fieri of my dreams.
You just need your one-way ticket to Flavortown with
I do.
That guy.
I completely.
I don't know. It's just, it's always been something, like, even, I don't know, people are like, you watch it too much. Like, I'll watch his other shows, too.
There's other shows?
Like, for sure.
What other shows
does I mean, he do have? You want to go back to when he won Food Network All-Stars in, like, late, early 2002? Then he went on to, I think his first show was called The Big Bite or something like that.
Oh, The Big Bite. I want to call Guy Fieri The Big Bite now.
I've also been to his restaurant in New York that got the worst review of all time.
And it's closed now.
Yeah, it was pretty sad when I went to it.
I picture it's an upscale Chili's.
It's like a four stories Guy Fieri, what it looks like inside his head.
Was it just like red and flames, like, and like car, like, bumpers and headlights?
And then when you go in the bathroom, Food Network's playing Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the TVs.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's what's playing on most of the TVs if it's not like a sports thing.
So basically, it's like Red Robin.
Yeah, but it's cool.
So it's...
I got deep fried ice cream.
Do you know what's really funny? Red Robin didn't go under. Are you a fan of like Action Bronson and Maddie Matheson?
I have a Maddie Matheson hat on. my girlfriend and I just saw him this summer, and he did a little American tour. It wasn't even like a book tour. He was like the nicest guy. He just got up on stage. He's like, I really don't know what I'm going to talk about, but he talked about his life, and then he introduced that he has a new show because apparently everyone has left Vice.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently that's tanking now and no one likes it anymore. But yeah, I love Maddie Matheson. It's that same type of charisma, but like, it was just very, really, like, I guess just, like, happy to know that, like, I guess he'd be a hero of mine because of what he's doing and what he's creating. And, like, you know how they say, like, don't meet your heroes. But, like, he waited in line and he met everybody.
Like,
he took pictures, he signed books, and he mentioned, like, how he, like, went on tour a lot. And, like, he was just, like, batshit crazy until finally he had a kid. And he had a heart attack, I think, or it was a stroke. And he had it, like, age 30 something. And he survived it, and it was like that heart attack that's like the widow's.
The one
that Kevin Smith had, and he almost died too. But he said like that was his eye opener, and then he sobered up, and now all he does is just like eat food and like learn about food. And so it was pretty. It was really interesting. I don't know. I really respect
being on the brink of death and then realizing.
But the crazy part was when he almost died, he went right back to doing what he was doing because he was like, I cheated death. I can do whatever I want now. And then it was like, I'm going to have a kid. Absolute opposite
of what Kevin Smith did. Kevin Smith was like, fuck this. I'm going to drop 80 pounds. It's just weird that Kevin Smith is an endorsed, like, is a, what is it?
Like a Weight Watchers?
Weight Watchers, like.
And he's a vegan now?
Yeah. It's all weird. I mean, the vegan thing's not that far off because, like,
I think everybody in his family is also vegan.
Yeah. And I also, and like, he lives in California, so it all makes sense.
Well, I mean, hopefully that he's vegan, he could finally make a good movie again, and he can make they're doing another Jay and Silent Bob.
They are doing another Jay and Silent Bob. Did you not like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
No, yeah, but have you watched his recent movies like Tusk and Yoga Hosers?
Okay, Yoga Hosers, we're gonna fight. Okay, Tusk, weird as fuck.
Tusk, I thought it was good though.
Tusk was really good. I just could not. Every time I see Justin Long, I only see this weird slimy walrus.
I also just think of Accepted.
Yeah,
I was like, aren't you supposed to be in college right now?
Justin Long, have you aged?
But he also was a great character in another Kevin Smith movie that Zach and Miri make a porn.
I love, oh my god, yeah, like, where he is the gay porn star. Oh my
god. But Yoga Hosers blew. Like, the only thing that was cool about that was
so campy.
It is, but it's like the hot dog Nazis, like, and then they kind of just like try to wrap it up at the end with like a Nazi overlord living under this convenience store or whatever it was.
Nope, I love Yoga Hosers.
And then he was trying to make Moose Jaws a movie, and it was like Jaws, but if it was a moose.
Yeah, I know. The things that come out on a podcast.
Yeah,
that
it's pretty insane.
But like, think about it. I would have like a Guy Fieri like playlist festival if I had the money just to like.
Oh yeah.
just to do it, right?
I would reopen Guy Fieri's New York City restaurant if I could.
Because it
just needed a little more donkey sauce, and I think it would have really...
I can't take you seriously at all. That's not happening. I can't believe that. So I'm going to play a song.
Okay.
I have no idea what song I'm going to play.
Oh.
I have a lot of music from a lot of people who have submitted it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I will put a song. I will tell you all about that song. And then we're going to come back.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about the sounds of Fiere.
Whoa. You put a little twang Fiere on there.
No. Do you understand that sometimes people say his last name as
Fiere?
Well,
I mean, do you want to hear a hard fact?
What?
It used to be called Guy Fieri.
And then
he changed it because he wanted to respect his Italian elders that he found out he had a lifeline with, like, in Italy.
Fieri.
I don't know. I think he gets pissed off when people try to pronounce his name.
Guy Fieri.
Just Guy.
Guy.
I just know him as Guy.
Hey, Guy. Okay. We're going to come back. And the song that I chose for this episode to go into the playlist is by a hip-hop artist and stand-up comic, Nazir. This song is Brunch. There is a rad music video, and you should check out in the links. And I thought it was perfect for the episode.
Keep you high like a pilot. Girl, sway it and change. Ain't been the same since college. All you wanna do is fight and dance. Your life is one big mosh pit. Girl, do you hear me talking? Girl, this is your conscience. You was raised on the Adderall, but you grown now. So girl, now you got options. You can slur cocaine by the mountain. You can drink vodka by the fountain. Smoke weed, plants as tall as trees. Take an acid trip to the islands. Dick Marcy chick is so stylish. Some like Frida Kahlo if she loves to slur coke on my dick. Damn girl Molly make you a dancer. Girl, you built like a bitch from Atlanta. Sex in the City is such a Miranda. No, you more like the cast of girls. Marnie, Justin, Shoshana, and Hannah. Drugs are cool, fuck the damn propaganda. Take this pill, we'll give you the answers. Yeah. White girls love brunch. Mimosas and a few blunts. Cocaine and avocado. Eating Zannies with the waffles. From the garden to eat. Goddamn, girl, why you tweaking? Goddamn, girl, what you seeing? Don't worry, girl, don't gesture your demons. Open wide, girl, it's just some semen. Why would I lie, girl, just believe me. You getting high like every evening. Smoking on that Hooper steak, what's the reason? You say your life is so stressful. Drugs make you feel special. Since your parents divorced, you feel they both neglect you. Mama always drunk and daddy, well, he do not text you. No, he do not call. Never send letters that do address you. So you get drunk and you cry about it. Pop some pills and now you wildin'. Feeling groovy, blast to Phil Collins. Make you feel like you back in college. Send a tweet to your alma mater. Hashtag why y'all gotta take all my dollars. Take a couple lines up the nostrils. White girl on that white girl, Ronda Rousey. Yeah. White girls love brunch. Mimosas and a few blunts. Cocaine and avocado. Eating Zannies with the waffles. Avocado.
Sounds of Fieri coming in hot. So I asked you to put together a playlist. Like I said, Sounds of Fieri.
Right. It's not just that. It's just music I like in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. Summer sounds. I'm surprised that it's just not all sad, miserable songs because you hate the summer.
It's not. It's just humidity. That's
it's just
all.
It is. The past like week in Philly has been
the thing. Yeah,
it's disgusting.
It's like, and then it rains for a hot 2 minutes, and then it gets hotter out.
It does. It was steaming yesterday.
Yeah, it sucks.
It rained so bad, and there was like a chance of tornado. And it just was like hell was coming up, as if Guy Fieri was rising from the streets of Philly.
Like a phoenix. Or rising from the ashes of Philadelphia. the oil refinery of Philadelphia.
So I were some of these songs with Guy in mind and some songs with you in mind.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of everything in that.
So we're going to play the game of Guy or Nate.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Sugar Ray, Every Morning.
I mean, that's both. Come on. That's a great song.
Sugar Ray, have you ever listened to early Sugar Ray, like 1999?
I heard it doesn't sound like what they got famous for.
No. So they were basically like the starters of like rap rock.
Wait, he rapped?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know something? We're going to go real quick. Because like if I get sued by Sugar Ray... I'm okay with it at this point.
Sorry, they're probably on tour with Smash Mouth right now. They're probably making a lot of money.
I was waiting to hear a Smash Mouth song on here. Like, I was waiting so hard. Okay, we're going to go to Lemonade and Brownies. This is by Sugar Ray.
That's an actual song they made?
It's an album, and it is a girl
kind of a good album name.
In a doggy style.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. 1995. I bet Tipper Gore was having a fucking field day with that.
Is that person famous on the cover? Or is it like one of those Blink-182?
Oh, it's definitely like a Blink-182.
Or like...
So this is Rhyme Stealer by Sugar Ray.
Now it's time for Guitar Center Stage.
Sum 41 was so heavily inspired by 1995 Sugar Ray. That and...
this is wild.
P.O.D.
This sounds like none of the songs I've ever heard from them.
Oh, wait till it comes in.
Ugh, this is terrible.
Your mind's blown. I know. It happens. It happens to the best of us.
Interesting.
So, that is under fair use law because that was under 20 seconds. So Sugar Ray,
I don't think that they're going to be worried about it. He makes a lot of money now still.
Yeah, probably. I mean, although Sugar Ray, whoever, Mark McGrath.
Yeah.
And Guy Fieri kind of have the same hair.
Yeah, it's like him and like the Nickelback guy.
Oh, yeah. And kind of Guy Fieri is the Nickelback of the cooking world.
I disagree.
I liked how you had to like take a
I'm gonna quick have second. To disagree with that one.
Another thing that I got really pumped about, Anderson .Paak, Celebrate, because
yeah, we also have a bone to pick about that one, because To Be Frank said that that's not a summer
summer artist or songs in general.
Yeah, like, and I was like, that's wild.
I was really take that, Frank.
throwing
shade between episodes. Anderson .Paak, literally all of his music is meant for summer playlists.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about him was that album that I forget what song I put on there.
Celebrate. Malibu.
Yeah, and that album's so fantastic. And then when he had his second album, which was I forget the name of it.
It was another.
Was it Valencia?
Venture? Or Oxnard. Yeah.
And that one was just like, okay. And then all of a sudden, 3 months later, he did another album.
Ventura.
And that album is spectacular.
Ventura is really, really, really good.
Because I think Ventura is a combination of his last two albums, and that makes more sense.
Yes.
Like, I feel like there's an even flow of everything.
Although, I was listening to this playlist throughout the day today, doing my errands. This morning, I was... in the shower listening to The Sounds of Fieri, which I'm kind of feel awful about doing. And
no, see, you're not embracing it.
I am embracing it. I'm embracing Flavortown.
I know you're gonna watch it once this podcast is done. You're gonna watch one episode of it.
You know what? I've watched a lot of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives before.
It's comforting.
It's because I love seeing America's restaurants.
Thank you.
I love seeing the like hometown restaurants. Like that's to me is like I love Philly, but I don't need to go to Pizza Badia.
Right.
Like I would rather go see Pizza Gut or Pizza Shack and Maxon, because those are the people.
That's a great example, right?
Like I don't need to have those experiences.
You can get bougie every once in a while, but
I love La Rosa's down here on Snyder. I would rather go into that mom and pop old Italian family, get that thick.
The Florida style place.
What?
The Florida style pizza place.
No. Next to I don't know how that's a thing. So the first thing Nate does, he goes, we're talking about how shitty Ohio's pizza is. And he's like, dude, I got off the Snyder train stop and I was walking down here. I was like, Florida style pizza. What the fuck is that, right?
It's gotta
be a thing. Not a thing.
It's gotta be a thing.
It's a disgusting thing. And I don't even think that place is open.
I don't think it is, actually.
I don't think it's open.
I think it has boarded up windows.
Because no one should ever have Florida style pizza. People in Florida do not know how to make pizza. There's only certain places that you can trust pizza. I'm in the shower and right off the bat, this Home Sweet Home comes on. Not only does it remind me of Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
But it also reminds me of something that, like, if you were getting on a train to Flavortown, Home Sweet Home is the song.
Yeah. That's the song you go to bed to. You don't even, like, you're not even amping up. Like, that's what you go to bed to.
Did you watch the shitty Motley Crue movie?
I did,
on Netflix?
And I actually found that it was surprisingly okay. I just felt that it was really paced really fast. Mm-hmm. And I think, from an outsider's perspective, after seeing Rocket Man and the Queen flick, that one was kind of better than I thought the Queen movie, because it seemed more honest. And I like when they break the fourth wall and they're like, well, actually, this happened. Like,
yeah.
When movies can do that, you're like, oh, I get it. It's a movie. Where it's like, me and my girlfriend went to watch the new Queen flick, and we looked up afterwards, and like 80% of that movie's made up.
Oh, yeah.
The only part that's not made up is like the last 15 minutes.
That comes into play of them switching directors and
Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to wrote an original script, and apparently it was this like amazing script that Queen would never allow to be seen.
What?
It was like apparently it was all about Freddie Mercury, and he was going to play Freddie Mercury, and it was like this amazing life episodic movie about him growing up and becoming the man that he is, and then like his downfall with AIDS and like.
Well, why can't that just be a movie called Mercury instead of, like...
Because the bands of Queen own the rights, and they are the ones that can only approve... They were the ones that approved this movie because it felt like it was a band movie, not a movie about one guy.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, a lot of other things, like, break down. I just... With the Motley Crue movie, it was just like, great, you're telling us we idolize shitheads for the past, like, 30-plus years. Great. Kudos to us for being a bunch of idiots. That was the 80s. I can't even hate it, but like my favorite part of that whole movie was Ozzy pissing.
Yeah.
Like whoever played Ozzy in the 80s.
I don't even remember who that was.
Was so fucking good. That was like my favorite part of the whole thing is like Ozzy in the lifeguard chair.
Yeah.
And I was like, that dude is fucking nailing it. Didn't care about anything else.
Yeah, I will say they got like a good tone to that movie, but it was just a fun like watch. It wasn't like I'm glad I didn't pay to see it or anything like that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Thank you, Netflix. I think we're alone now. Is that a guy?
No, that's a Nathan pick.
Oh, that is a Nate pick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I fucked up.
I think that song, I got reintroduced to that song because of a show I watched called, it's based off a comic book that I love called The Umbrella Academy.
I love it. Yes.
And the opening, one of the last scenes in the first episode, they do a cutaway of the house.
They do.
And they're all dancing in it. And that cutaway can be seen. And I just love cutaway stuff. Like you can see that in my work a lot of times now, but like stuff like that gives me goosebumps, because like I know it's like kind of CGI'd or whatever, but like it was such a great song for like a sucker. I'm a sucker for soundtracks.
I love Umbrella Academy. Yeah, and that, I'm a sucker for soundtracks
I probably watched that show in less than like 2 weeks, like a week. Like it was.
It took me 2 days to get through the whole Umbrella Academy. It's so good, and like
I have a really big sweet spot for My Chemical Romance and Jared Way
for sure.
And I think he's like a really creative person, and like I was glad that like he got to do a comic book, because like that's like all he ever wanted to do, really. I think if I remember an interview with him.
Well, I think like with the Claudios and the Gerards, like they were nerds that that got lucky in these bands.
Like at the time, like a kind of like a David Bowie vibe, because of like they really like they did certain things for certain albums, and like they all had a different aesthetic. Like
I love,
like their music videos are incredible. Like even the I'm Not Okay one, like it's just a goofy Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and then you got like the Black Parade one, which is like super surreal
Tim Burton style. Yeah,
like it's just all over the place.
People were putting together like emo playlists, and they were putting together like May Day Parade and stuff. And I just don't. I like missed out on that side of like pop punk emo.
Yeah, I kind of missed out on all that stuff because I was listening to like CCR and like.
Did you get real heavy into it? You put some CCR,
there, but like I was like I listened to a lot of Bruce Springsteen when I was a kid.
Same.
Like a lot of like
you put 10th Avenue Freeze out, and that beginning of that song is so fucking.
It was between
good.
That or Rosalita. It was like.
Was it real hard to pick?
Like, I was like, one's more poppier, but the other one's got a good groove to it.
10th Avenue Freeze Out is such a good song.
Yeah, I grew up on a lot of oldies because of my mom, and like when I would spend time with my dad. And then I kind of started finding my own music when I was like late high school, early college, with like local bands like Algernon Cadwallader, like when they were around, and kind of that scene. And then that kind of evolved into more of like just kind of dipping your toe in everything. Like
you love hip hop. That's one of my favorite things is that you're a hip hop head.
And that's a thing that I didn't realize like a lot of people like hip hop. I know that sounds weird to say, but like in high school I grew up listening to a lot of it, but everybody was mostly just into like Outkast at the time, like the like Atlanta scene, or like Kanye West, because like that was when he was making really good albums.
Touche.
But
I always have this conversation because like you put a song, you put Estelle American Boy,
and that song's like so overlooked. Like it's so good, it's so catchy, and I don't even know what happened to that woman after that song. I think she like just vanished.
She just vanished. She was that. She would be on. Wasn't there a one-hit wonder?
Yeah, like that would be her. I think
on VH1, one-hit like, wonders.
The way
where are they are now?
Yeah,
is that wait? Because I watched one with who's the one that sings about Fastball, The Way by Fastball. They're one hit wonder. You know this song? Hold on. You totally know this. This is a Guy Fieri song. This is for sure.
These guys were a one hit wonder?
Yeah.
Weird. They kind of sound like Panic at the Disco-y or something like
that. They do, but. But it's literally about this old couple that goes missing, like gets in their RV, takes off, and never is seen again. And like their family can't find them.
Oh, that's dark.
But I learned it on the VH1 show.
Oh, like Where They Are Now.
Where They Are Now, right, or right, One right. Hit Wonder. One, yeah, whatever that fucking
or like,
TV show
whenever
is.
They used to do like the top 100 One Hit Wonders.
And they go behind the, like, behind the song and whatnot, and what it was. That's
interesting.
You know. Important shit, obviously, to stop the playlist.
Put that one in my pocket for later.
To Google and talk about hip hop heads, and then talk about Kanye West and Estelle. It's all, you know, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
The Good as Hell, Lizzo.
Yeah, that's my favorite song by her. I know it's old, and her new album's amazing.
No,
but that's like, I think that's her best song.
Yeah, you a big Lizzo fan?
A huge Lizzo fan. And actually, it was really funny because I just watched the movie Blockers.
Yes.
And they use a lot of her music in it.
Uh-huh.
And I was singing to it, and my girlfriend looked over and she goes, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I love this. I love this.
I love Lizzo.
Yeah, I love her. Yeah.
Do you secretly, like, hide certain music for just yourself?
I just think people like assume. I think people think I just listen to like shitty indie music or something.
Yeah,
like that,
the you're way the I arcade look. Fire.
Yeah, like
unfortunately, it just looks like every hipster walking the street.
But yeah, I like a lot of different stuff, and I came across her, I guess, like moments before she popped off because mm-hmm. it was. The minute I found that song, and then that new album came out probably like 2 or 3 months later, and when Spotify does like, oh, new album's out or yeah. whatever, I was like, I'll listen to it. And I was like, what the fuck? This is like next level.
So good. I found her through a Broad City episode.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Was she in Broad City or just her music?
No, just her music. Okay. It was like an opening credits of like her, Alana and Abby on yeah. the toilet, like doing various shit.
That's funny.
On the toilet.
Yeah, I mean, she's just like, I say a weird thing where she kind of reminds me of like an Amy Winehouse, like the way her new album is.
Oh.
Like how big and instrumental it can be, and then it can be real dirty and like fun. Like,
yeah.
It just goes all over the place. I don't know. She's got a little bit of everything going on.
I claim her as my Beyonce.
Whoa, is that like a thing?
Yeah, on? I think she's bigger than I think she's better than Beyonce.
I mean, I saw that BET Awards performance. That was insane.
Right?
She pulls out the flute?
She is a classically trained flautist.
Yeah, that's insane.
I am hands down impressed by her, and she is the queen of self-love, and we need more of that in this world.
All right, I agree.
Yeah. Talking about big girls, I'm happy that this song was back on. So yeah. Nate made an original playlist when we first recorded, which had such good songs, and we had such good banter
to
it.
I think a lot of songs that were on that one yeah, are yeah. on this one. Like, a lot of Beastie Boys and stuff like that are on
yeah,
there.
You yeah, you still yeah. did Beastie Boys, of course.
Some
you
other
went,
stuff.
You went and saw...
Yeah, I just went and saw when they did a little mini tour that Spike Jonze was filming.
Mm-hmm.
And the first night was in Philly. It was really interesting. It's all based on their book that came out.
Which is a very weird book because it's some stories.
And then in the middle, it's a Joe Coy recipe book.
Yeah.
It's just like... But the book's really good, and basically it was like a live performance of the book explaining their arching... Of, okay. like, everything they did. It was really nice.
Was it intense seeing... Because they're, like, one of your favorite bands, right?
It was just, like, kind of surreal. Mm-hmm. And then, like, all of a sudden, Jonah Hill popped out of the crowd because he's the producer on whatever they're filming. I don't know where it's going to happen with it. I think it's, like, a Netflix thing
probably.
Or something like that. Or probably, like, Apple Music or yeah. some weird, like, thing. But, He like popped out at one point because they make a joke about how I guess I always forget this stuff, but Paul's Boutique was like a bomb when it
yeah.
came out. Like, it was awful. Like, no one understood it,
mm-hmm.
and like, it's one of like the best hip hop creations, I think, like, to
oh,
this
for
day.
Sure. Yeah.
And Jonah Hill like did a joke where he's like, but there was kids like me who like we loved and appreciated it and stuff like that, and they're like, yeah, but we didn't sell anything, so thanks anyway.
Yeah.
Which is hysterical because it was like Jonah Hill just coming off of mid-90s, which was like this incredible movie, like a love letter to skateboarding and just like being a misfit or an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
I like really related to it a lot. I
have a sour puss with Jonah Hill in the mid-90s. I threw a skating art show,
yeah,
and I got a bunch of toxic masculinity of people being
welcome to skateboarding.
Yeah, welcome to it. I threw a skate.
But he got a lot of shit too for it too. But like, people didn't realize that he would like actually knew like skateboarding. Like, when that movie came out, people mm-hmm. thought it was another shitty movie about skateboarding.
I'm gonna watch mid-90s.
I think like really watch it. Like, even if you just have your headphones on, because the music, how they sync up the music to it, it's like so amazing.
I do love great soundtracks. I mean, it's one of the things that gets me through watching Handmaid's Tale half the time is because...
Ooh, man, that show is brutally boring or brutally weird.
It is brutally intense.
It's just like, and then it's her face all the time.
I wish everyone could just see
she has
face.
This face where she just like looks at the camera and her eyes are glossy, and you're like, I get it, it's a shitty world you live in,
and stop you're making... intense.
Yeah, and
we
like...
don't know what's going on behind those eyes. You know, you're not the only person who said that they're so sick and tired of seeing
but
Elizabeth Moss's face.
I love her as an actor because I love Mad Men, and she's incredible in Mad Men,
but she's not making the same face over
no
because
she's a normal person in Mad Men, like dealing with shitty men.
She's
too.
Not crazed. I mean, you know, who knows?
If it is good, crazy, though. It's a good show.
It's a great show and an even better soundtrack.
Yeah, they throw like curveballs at you with
yeah.
the soundtrack.
You'll never listen. I'm telling you, you hear Walking on Broken Glass, you'll never feel normal again. Yeah. And you'll always be like thinking of a different, like, yeah. like I feel really uncomfortable right now. Big Girl, Ghostface Killa, great sampling on that fucking song. You put A Little Honey by Nathaniel Ratliff and The Night Sweats.
That's my favorite band, like, of all time right now.
Really?
Yeah. That, like, I'm obsessed with them.
I really love them.
I know they got really commercial because, like, Lipton or, like, Hyundai, like, bought their one song.
Good for them for buying a song.
That album is, like, probably the most played record I have right now.
I found them coming out of the most, like, the way I found this band was probably the most, like, typical way. I was driving out of the woods in Kentucky, and I was at Red River Gorge camping that weekend, and driving back home to Cincinnati, I like pulled up Spotify, and talking about Spotify is really great sometimes, right. being like
they this do, like, album the road trip albums yeah. or stuff
well
like
no
that.
It was just this album, it pulled up and said based on your music selections,
that's dope,
you should check out this album. Yeah, and I like put it on, and I was like, actually, and all I saw was like hairy chest and turquoise necklace, and I was like,
I'm in.
I'm pretty sure I'm down. I'm going to Flavortown. One way ticket.
Yeah, his solo stuff is pretty. It's a little dark too. Like it's got those tones that when you got a full band, it's like, holy shit, this sounds amazing. But even like he has a song that they play on their they did a live album at the Red Rocks with the whole band. They did one of his solo songs, and it's just about him getting in a bar fight over his girlfriend. And it's, like, talking about how, like, he's just beat the shit, and, like, you're gonna have to, like, wipe the blood off me and, like, carry me home, or I'm just gonna, like, sleep outside or something like that. It's, like, and it's just, like, but it sounds so romantic. Like, it's, like, really beautifully, like,
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah, he's good. It's good stuff.
I feel like I kind of got away from that, like, Americana Midwest sound for a minute. I'm a sucker for it immensely. It's such a great summer, like summer and fall.
Yeah,
those bands can really encapsulate those feelings,
especially that like end of summer, early fall, where it's hot during the day but it's cold at night.
Yeah
like that, I can get down with that.
Yeah, where there's like a fire burning at night, but like you still get to do some summer-esque activities during the day.
Yeah, and the sun's like kind of getting closer to being dark 24/7.
I was like finding witty ways, and it was like Guy Fieri and the Meat Sweats.
Oh, that's disgusting. But I approve of that. That's pretty funny.
One way to get to a little Flavortown. I'm excited because since first recording to now recording, still no one has ever put Kiss on a playlist.
That's weird, because Kiss to me, it's like, that was a little bit Guy Fieri, but also me, but it's just fun. It's just like fun music.
Kiss is great.
Yeah, we've Kiss talked about great. That before.
A song that I didn't know, and leave it to you, Doses and Mimosas by Cherub.
That's just like this weird song I found.
Where did you find this?
I think I found it like via like things like artists you might like or something. Like
okay.
That. It's just like a fun, weird, they're like a, it's like,
we're gonna look that what they are.
I don't know how to explain it, because I don't really listen to a lot of their other music, but that song's just fun to listen to.
It's so fun.
It's very summery in the fact that it, like, it's a song you drink to, and I remember listening to it a lot, like, at parties and stuff like that in college.
They're just like a duo that's from, like, middle of Tennessee.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, they make this kind of fun poppy music. It's, like, not Diplo or something like that. It's, like,
I don't,
it's a little more, I
hope.
Fun.
He's wearing one of the dudes is wearing a Deicide shirt in his like promo photo. So they probably, and like are both heavily tattooed. They're like, you know what? Being a metal band suck. We don't get paid.
Yeah.
So we're going to make some electronic music and make all these.
It's just so fun though. I don't
it
know.
Is.
It's and the song's funny, but it's also like, fuck everybody. We're gonna do champagne and cocaine.
Yeah. Like, that's literally,
it's like a
Guy Fieri's lifestyle.
Yeah, I bet you, well, I don't know if you
like Miller champagne. High. Miller High, the champagne of beers. Paper Planes by MIA.
That's a me song. I love her.
I love her too, and that's such... I listened to it, and I was like, fuck, I haven't listened to this song
every time long. I bring that up and I'm with people, they're like, I forgot about her.
Yeah!
Which is, like, insane to me.
So fucking good.
I think she has a documentary coming out about her life, too, and it looks pretty interesting.
Oh, really?
She's had a crazy life.
Yeah,
But I remember when that song first came out, and it was when they were advertising, Pineapple Express. Like, that was the song for the movie,
trailer,
and people were like, what is this?
It's such a good song, and it kicked on, and I was like, this is a great summer song.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah, Nate, on doing that. You also put the Sloppy Boys on here. I got so mad because when I pulled it up, I was like, do we get to talk about Don't Stop or We'll Die?
Yeah. They were here last year, right?
They were here a couple months ago.
Yeah,
they were here maybe in April. One of the artists that I had on one of my shows, mm-hmm. Alice, she's a great photographer, Alice Chang, for people in the Philly area. I think she's out in LA for a bit right now. But she, I think, knows
them,
and she took promo photos.
Their promo photos are pretty funny.
Yeah. She took promo photos before the Philomoka show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice. Yeah, the Sloppy Boys, I think, were the opening act for them.
Yes, they were, and they're the dudes from the Birthday Boys comedy group. Yeah. Again, really fun song, but you don't realize what you're singing, because, like...
Well, it has one of the best chorus lines. It's like, get your mitts off my ass, or my, like, tight ass, or something like that.
I'm taken,
yeah. And it's all about a guy saying, I'm married. But he's, like, bragging about it. And then he starts naming people, and he's like, I'm the chubby guy, and I have chubby chasers after me.
Yes!
He's just like, too bad you can't have this.
And too bad.
I just think that's hysterical.
It's funny because, dude... It's a great song.
And it's really fast. And it's like, and you're like, wait, what are they talking about?
What is happening right now?
Yeah.
You, talking about kind of comedic groups, Bird Cloud.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Spring Water. So good. Again, you think you're listening to, like, rip-offs of CCR female version.
Yeah, and I think they talk about CCR in it, but they have other good songs, like Wash My Big Old Pussy.
Yep.
Which is hysterical. Or I think one's just, like, Having Sex with a Black Guy. And then the other one's Saving Myself for Jesus, and then talking about how Jesus will have anal sex with them. Or they'll allow you to have anal sex with them, but they're saving their vagina for Jesus. Actually, the one girl that's in the band, she's, like, a solo career, and the songs are, like, really, like... Kind of like, not Kacey Musgraves, but that kind of, like, melody, like, Nashville style. And then it's, like, this real dirty, like, fun stuff. And their shows live are wild.
I've been to one of their shows in Cincinnati.
Oh, my God.
I got to see them for free at Motor in Cincinnati.
Apparently, they, like, wear diapers on stage.
Yes.
And they do crazy shit.
And they,
like, hook up harmonicas to their, potentially what should be their vagina at the time. And they're just playing them. And they're, like... really good at it.
Show,
like, that's a band I would want to do album cover for. Like, they're just, like, wild, but it's good sounding music.
Like, they know how to make great music.
It's just like, their lyrics are weird as fuck. Yeah.
So good. Anya Only Time.
That is a Guy Fieri song. I found out that one of his favorite artists is Anya.
Are you serious?
It's what he likes to chill out to.
Can you give me Guy Fieri facts? Do you have Guy Fieri facts?
Let me see if I know any other ones. I know he does a lot of charity work.
Oh, and, yeah, that's great for Flavortown.
His first ever business was a pretzel. He sold hot pretzels in front of his high school, or like his elementary school or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's how he got started. Before Food Network, he worked for a chain restaurant for Italian food. I'm trying.
Ready? We got this. So, I pulled up on mentalfloss.com for everyone.
Top 10 facts about him.
Top 10 facts about Guy Fieri. He got his first job in the food business at the age of 10.
It was like awesome pretzels.
He built a bicycle-powered pretzel cart.
Yeah, and he has like hippy-dippy parents.
Yeah.
And he used to only eat like tofu and stuff.
He called it the awesome pretzel. So he was already a little chode at like...
What are you talking about? He's an independent...
Entrepreneur. He was once trampled by a horse. Also, when he was 10 years old, Fieri was thrown from a horse and subsequently trampled by it. He suffered significant damage to his liver and a bruised heart. Aww. Because yeah, his parents were backpacking in Europe at the time, an attorney had to sign a court order allowing for emergency surgery. I was, quote, I was fucked up, Fieri told GQ of the incident. My mom was devastated. Also, I did not picture him saying I was fucked up.
Yeah, there's like, I follow him on Instagram, of course.
Of course.
This is where the audio just cuts right out. So if you listen to the whole episode, thank you for listening. Make sure to follow Nate at Nathan Hurst Art on Instagram and Nathan Hurst Art on Facebook. Make sure to come out to Tattooed Moms Friday, July 19th at 6 p.m. for the Snack Attack Art Show. Make sure you follow our featured song, Brunch, Nazi Bear on Instagram, and check out the music video. The link is in the show notes for Nazir and his song Brunch. Kind of fit this playlist podcast episode kind of perfect. Till next week, see you. Keep making playlists.